Accession number 11212, reel 3.
I'd like to turn now, Colonel, to the theoretical or study side of the college routine. What form did that take?
About 3 hours a day, I expect, for academic last period.
And what did you study? What kinds of things were you studying?
We studied military history, history of the British Empire, which is geography, really, military law, which is horrible, nothing like SADS or that. That was all gunners. They did that, and we had more subjects than that. We had about 6 subjects. Now, what were they? Law. I've mentioned 3, haven't I? 4 with military law. Anyhow, they come back, I think.
Did you study?
And then, of course, we had a PT, which wasn't, I mean, that was physical. It was, PT was an hour, proper PT in the gym.
Did you study the tactics of generals in history, commanders?
Oh, yes, of course we did. Tactics, theoretical tactics.
Who?
And also we studied people like Haig, way back to Boer War. Wellington, of course. And Wellington, Napoleon, the other, the enemy side. Marlborough. I think Marlborough was the beginning. Marlborough. Napoleon, Wellington. Then some of those generals who fought Indian wars, like Napier. The Indian Mutiny generals, Lawrence. The Zulu War general, Gordon of Khartoum. Bobs Roberts, Bobo, Buller, Field Marshal White, who is the man, Battle of Wolseley, Wolseley in Egypt.
Did you study any of the great military writers of the continent?
Yes. Oh, Lord, yes. The famous military writer of, are you Russian or German? Bismarck was German. And who was the great Russian one? Was he Russian?
Wasn't there Clausewitz, wasn't he?
Something with his T. Something like.
Did you, in effect, have to be presented with a battle and then dissected in some way as a student?
Oh, yes. And you worked it up for your exam on one campaign. Many battles, perhaps. Quite a number of battles, but one campaign. Every year you had, every term, in the term you had exams. And you say you took the Desert War campaign. That's the on-demand one. One time, you might take one of the phases of World War One. World War One was a sort of on its own, more or less, because there were so many phases, Ypres and the Somme and the so-and-so and the so-and-so and the so-and-so and the so-and-so. And you would have for your exam at the end one historical and one World War One. Well, they're both historical. And then at the end of the term you had exams in everything. You had military law, you had history of the British Empire, you had all the things I've said. You had exams. So you had quite a sort of week of exams.
And then,
and the terms were 15 weeks.
And following your exams, you would there would be a pass mark, presumably.
Oh, yes.
What happened if...
And if you didn't pass to a certain level your first term, you were thrown out. They only threw about one per company out. That's a four or five. At the most, there were four companies. And it wasn't definitely one per company. I mean, it could have been one in my company, one in two of the others. It might be three. For that's four purely... academic, not being able to meet the mark, pass mark. They were very, very generous, really, with that. And then, of course, there was the throwouts from naughty acts, stealing, buggery.
You got
very little. Hardly any. I mean, I think it was one or two cases the whole time I was there for 18 months out of 100 cadets, 150 cadets.
Did they instill in you the need to look after the men that you would ultimately command?
Oh, yes. Yes, that was done by... When you were a junior, you were the recruit, equivalent to the recruit at a depot, a regular recruit. The seniors and the intermediates were really meant to be looking after you. The fact that the seniors and the intermediates could be bloody-minded for kit in the evening and bloody-minded occasionally. You got the bloody-minded under-officer who was bloody-minded all the time. He was only a year older than you. But that year was like a pinnacle. And then you got the ones that forgot and forgave. Next morning, if they had thrown all your kit out of the window, they wouldn't remember. Well, they wouldn't on purpose remember. You used to see juniors for the first 9 weeks grovelling along the, in the dark, in the winter, along the front of the college. Say I was three stories up. And we had a particularly nasty junior under officer. And his name was, I give it to you now, Vickers. I don't want this. This I want not recording or whatever you call it. Kerwalai. Went into Kerwalai later. And I met him about 4 years later, and he was quite charming on equal terms. He was a subaltern, I was a subaltern. But at Sandhurst, he was a brute. And he was a brute the whole time. I mean, he wasn't only a brute with Kit. He was a brute on parade. He was a brute when he led us as the platoon commander on our bicycles. You see, senior leading the juniors. And
did he get a delight in acting this way too? Did he seem to be getting some pleasure out of it?
Yes, he did. Got a wonderful DSO when he was a colonel in Blair. But he seemed to get pleasure out of it. But he never appeared to get any pleasure when I saw him 4 years later. Out of being beastly, because he wasn't. He was charming.
As you completed the first term, Colonel, what was the order of things thereafter?
Well, each term was 15 weeks. The first 9 weeks of the first term, you were what was called on the square, when bloody mindless boots thrown out of the window. The next 6 weeks, you were more free. You could go into the town and go to the cinema. And you couldn't go up to London or anything like that. People did, of course, and got away with it. And I don't think in the first term. Then 6 weeks, it was more relaxed. Then in my case, it was the Christmas holidays. Can't remember. 3 weeks, I think. 3 weeks of Christmas.
This would be 1935, did you say?
33, autumn. And then the next term started February, I think, beginning of February. And it went on, and there was an Easter break. A very short Easter break of 10 days, I think. And then it went into the summer, and from 15 weeks... those two added together. Then the last term was another winter one for me as a senior. Now, an intermediate. I said the ones that did very well academically and sportingly could become a corporal. But they were limited to, I think, one or two per company, which would be about eight for the whole of the intermediate term. The intermediate term was the relaxed term, rather like a university. If you relaxed, if you let down your hypertension and you sat back and you didn't do academically, you loved your sport. Academically, perhaps you let it slip. More PT, funnily enough, the intermediate term. The mind, next me. Coordination. Square bashing. Oh, quite a lot. But about three times a week, something like that. Always Saturday morning, big one. Very, very big one. Saturday morning, the adjutant rode on a horse. Saturday morning. Whatever happened, I mean, in the junior term, the adjutant, who was always a guard, he rode on his horse for the parade. The RSM was, of course, a guard, but he was on foot. With brown boots and the usual RSMs in those days, dress. Because other rags, of course, always wore black boots, other than RSMs, who wore highly polished brown boots. The guardsmen, of course, always wore, well, all soldiers wore hobnail spuds. I mean, studs as opposed to hobnails, and a toe cap and a heel plate. Right. Intermediate term. as I say, you could let up a bit, academically. I was so stupid. I did let up a bit. I was stupid enough to let up a bit. And I jolly nearly failed to pass out at the end. I mean, I think I passed in about bottom at two, and I think I passed out bottom at three or four, whereas you should have got up. The only time I looked up that term was, it sounds terrible, this, I had a cavalry company commander, fellow in the King's Dragoon Guards called Peyton. I was one of the 17 from the whole college, all terms, who rode in the Garth point to point. Now, the Garth point to point was over at Arborfield, and the year before, HRH, the Prince of Wales, the Duke of Windsor later, had fallen off at the water jump. So when the master, riding master, who was a captain, Sir Thomas Merrick, had us all for lunch on a Sunday and took us to walk the course, he said, if you fall off here and dip into the water, there was no fence, just wide water, you'll be in great company. Last year, the Duke of, HRH, Prince Wales, went straight into this water. That's just an anecdote. Anyhow, Sergeant Major Bowen, of course, guards officers are very keen on hunting too. There was, I mean, the odd older rank very likely hunted, but they didn't hunt. They didn't hunt at Sandhurst or anything like that. The PSIs, the odd one, might have played polo with his regiment when he was in the, you know, cavalry regiment and got a horse and all that thing. The sergeant majors, Bowen, old fat Biff Bowen, we called him. He was enormously fat, too much beer. And he said, sir, I think you'll go far. I think you're all right. This was halfway through, because it was before Easter. I think you're all right. The company commander's very pleased that you're riding in point to point. So is Captain Sir Thomas Merrick. He was the master of the horse. He was the sort of riding master. The day came. Humphreys went round on an old plug, which I'd had for the hunting season. It was very, 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 very cheap, my father paid. And I think it cost me £3 to ride in the point-to-point and to get some little cap things. And the horse was a grand old thing that had been round for about 10 years, belonged to the stable at the bottom, and he was a good hunter. He used to go hunting. And of course, you had to qualify 8 days. Anyhow, that was that. Humphreys was all right halfway through, but Humphreys sat back in the loveliest hot summer, and his work went down and down and down, and he was the devil of the the party for work at the end of the term. As I say, fourth, I think I passed out fourth. Anyhow, I was warned by a nice Peyton, liked him very much. You know, if you don't go better than this next time, you'll be for the high jump. And it would be awfully sad, your last term, to be for the high jump. I thought you had greatest guts riding that point to point. your field work, you've shown guts, your general practical work has shown that you have the leadership and the oomph to become an officer, and a good officer at that. But academically, if you do not pass, you are out. It's rather like today with octaves. You're out if you can't pass academically. Very few get through who haven't got the A's or whatever it is. Right. That was the intermediate term. Exams were a bit harder at the end. That didn't help me either. I'm not an exam king. I get rather sort of exam nervousness. And I start writing the, you've got an hour. You've got 12 questions or something. And you start and do a hell of a first question. Do it very lightly, terribly well. Second, third, fourth. And then pushed for the rest up to 12 or whatever. So the result was that, well, I got flurried. That's the word to use, I think, in exams. I was much better in term time than exams. Right. Particularly interesting instructors. One was the captain of army cricket, Colonel Kersalai called Miles, during this intermediate term. One was the oldest subaltern in the whole of the army, a man called Curtis, S. Somerset Light Infantry, 20 and a half years service as a subaltern. Every time the military secretary came, he fired up. But their regiment was worse than the rifle brigade, Lytton Milbank. And he was only 19 and a half, I think. Curtis was 20 and a half. And I think the Somersets and one other, was it the Gloucesters or something, were the two worst in the whole of the army. Then over 20. We were knocking on the Durham Light Infantry at 15 to 18. So we weren't, we were only about a year behind Lytton Milbank Rifle Brigade, as opposed to the 60.
Was this a kind of dead man's shoes promotion? This one retired, they went out, everyone did this shuffle.
Yeah, what happened was they retired early. I mean, some regiments, very rich regiments, the cavalry, were the rich regiments and the guards. They very likely went off to run their states when they were captains or something. They went off to run some glorious estate somewhere. They would go up perhaps and be 13 years, 14 years before they became captain. Now, if they'd joined the same time as Lytton Milbank, he would give them 7 years service. He would be a subaltern and they'd be a captain. Gross inequality. It was caused by staff. Those who passed the staff college went off this sort of permanent strength of the regiment. They were in the regiment. And also, well, just circumstances. Some regiments, you see, there was always one battalion of an infantry battalion, either abroad or in Germany or somewhere, was one that they kept up the strength abroad, and really the UK battalions were the, they weren't depots, but they were equivalent. They had a depot as well. And they were the ones, we were down as far as 400, 500 at Blackdown the year I was in England. And the second battalion in Bombay with that time, they were up to their 800 or whatever it was, 900. So the emphasis was on the empire of which we had ruled the world. I mean, literally. You've seen the maps, all red. Not all red. Then, the last term, and I had to work like stink. Really get down to it. And there was no let up at all. None whatever. And your sport and your riding and everything took a second place. And academically and physically, like PT and all these sort of things, which I looked upon as a... I didn't like PT. I wasn't bouncy. I wasn't a bouncy boy. And I did them. I got onto the bars and I did this and he did press-ups and things and managed to pass standards because you had a... Every fortnight, 3 weeks, you had a standards to do. And you had to do 100 press-ups or you know, or something like that. And... Yes, the hockeys and the footballs and the... Actually, it was football that term I was there because it was the last term. And the cricket and rugger, of course. I didn't play rugger because I hadn't been to a rugger school. I went to Aldenham. And they were all curtailed. You had your blues versus Cranwell, Woolwich, etc., 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 blue. Equivalent to not half the standard, not a quarter of the standard of a varsity blue, who in those days was a sort of pinnacle. When you get Lord Burley and all that kind of thing. Then, pass out came. And that was a very, 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 very big exam. And a very big, long parade. One passed out. Is that the dog? Luckily, I passed out. And heaved a sigh of relief. Regiment, I will tell you another day why I chose the Durham Light Infantry, I think. Because... I told you I was passed out by a son of Queen Victoria. Old Duke of Connaught, age 92, staggered round, talking to everybody. Quite, I mean, like the Queen Mother now, quite active. Because his grandson was passing out to the graves.